Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, on we go and back to the phones, and Fred in Richmond has been patient. Fred, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm just a Warrior fan, man. At this point, man, I'm just trying to enjoy the last of this dying breed with Steph and Dre. I wish it could have been Clay also, but at the end of the day, Steve Kerr must have thought Przemski was a little better than Klay Thompson. Man, all your calls prior to my call, man, them dudes are ridiculous. They talking about Steph Curry turnovers. Do y'all know Steph Curry was turning the ball over with 4 championships?
Yep.
Them same seasons, he won multiple MVPs, he was still turning the ball over. They got to remember, Steph is almost 40 years old. He's about to be 38 in March of next year. Come on, y'all. Let's just enjoy it. With the Kuminga situation, he got to go. Because that agent of his, he's a loser. You don't do things like that during the game. Like, be professional. Like, he's trying to get money like the Wagner brother out there in Orlando. You're not him. We don't know what you are. Just play basketball at this point, because he's going to understand when he does go to another team, wherever that is. I hope it's Utah, but wherever it is, he's going to understand that he had a real great team in the Bay Area, and he's going to regret it. Thanks for having me on, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Fred, thank you. It's a good call. I don't know if Jonathan will regret it. Maybe he'll love it. I don't want him to not enjoy his career, and if he wants that to be somewhere else, that's fine. I think the point about the agent, though, is a good one, and I want to remind everybody that when we came out of the summer with all of the screaming and yelling about Jonathan Kuminga, the face of the forever Golden State Warriors franchise said one thing and one thing only. He said, I don't have any problem with whatever Jonathan's doing to negotiate his new deal. These things can be hard. I did not like what his agent did, and I told Jonathan that. And I said, don't let him go out there and speak for you. So that's what Steph Curry said. So I'm going to accept that as gospel. I agree with what Fred said. Aaron Turner obviously has come on this station. He came on for a really, really long time.
Yep.
I don't think that this is helping Jonathan's situation to have Aaron in the stands basically picking fights with Steve Kerr. Whether you agree with him or not is not even my point.
Yeah, the tweet was launched at 10:36, so I think the game was already over, just in all fairness.
It was a few minutes after the game ended.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. But, like, that's...
Yeah, just a point of, like, accuracy. Yeah.
No, he is reacting directly to the fact that Jonathan did not play in the fourth quarter. That's what the tweet was.
I mean, we're assuming.
No, because
the tweet is, what are we doing out here, facepalm?
Right, and read the thing that he retweeted moments later.
Yep, from Cyrus Sotsis.
Whoever the hell that is.
I used to work with him at another station here in town.
All right.
About, maybe 20 years ago now?
Okay.
And he...
I don't know Cyrus, but what did Cyrus say that Aaron Turner decided was retweet-worthy?
I'd have to look. JK was a huge part of that comeback. Kerr rewards him with a 4Q benching. Warriors trail by 4 with 3:56 to go. Facepalm.
Retweet. This is not a good thing.
34 other people retweeted it.
I don't care who.
In fairness.
He cannot be that guy.
I don't care what you support here. That's not good for Warrior basketball. We don't need the agents of the players immediately after a game criticizing the organization like on behalf of their player.
The retweet actually happened with 4 minutes to go, and then 17 minutes later, the agent put out his own tweet. So
they both ended with facepalm.
Well, Cyrus's initial tweet came out earlier.
Correct. With
Aaron
4 minutes
Turner
left.
Retweeted after he put his initial tweet
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
We got the tweet timeline.
I have Kuminga's agent's tweet notifications turned on.
Yeah,
I got you covered.
How do you feel about that?
I want to turn them off.
On January 16th, you can.
I wouldn't have even known. Like, Grandy, he texted this to us. I was in the car on the way home from the game. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah.
I woke up to about 18 texts from the three of you. And I was like, oh, boy. I mean, because that game ended and it was boop. I was tired.
You're like, did Aaron Judge sign with the Giants again?
Right.
What happened?
Did John Heyman spell Aaron Judge wrong again? Arson Turner?
The Giants did sign they signed a reliever today. Sam Hentschess.
I like the player.
Yeah, he was good. But he didn't miss last year with an injury.
Of course. It's the knot stove, totally.
Yeah. All right. Nick in Berkeley. Hi, Nick. What are you doing?
I'm just wondering why we have so many guards on our team and we got a team that's small. I mean, what is it, a 6 foot and under league at Mosswood back in the day? What's going on, man? Dunleavy, what are you doing? Like, we need taller players, bro. We need some athleticism. Like, we got so many guards out there, man, it's ridiculous. Like, I understand, you know, like, we run and gun, but, like, you know, there are some big guys that can run and gun, too. And we need to get some, like, you know, if we are getting some guards, we need some, like, old school Michael Cooper type guards. We need some guys that are long and lean and that can shoot and actually, you know, can cover some ground playing defense, man. You know, we're a little light inside. We got to get, you know, at least we can get in there and hack hard and knock a couple guys to the floor here and there and get some hard fouls instead of getting ran over all the time like we're getting ran over, man. It's like, come on, Dunleavy. He's like, man, how many guards do you want on the team, bro? Like, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science. We're not flying to Mars. It's a basketball team. And as far as, you know, Kuminga and his agent, man, ship both of them out right now, man. I'm tired of hearing his whining. I'm tired of hearing his agents whining. I mean, they make a lot of money doing what they do, man. Stop your crying. People are out here, you know, making $25,000, $35,000, $40,000 a year, and then they're struggling to support their family, and you cats are sitting up there whining on the side of the court like grown kids, man. We don't need no grown children on the Warriors no more. You know what I mean? And we don't need, you know, players jumping in the face of fans or none of that, man. It's all a big distraction. Curry don't even like none of that, man. I'm telling you right now. He probably don't say none, but he don't like it either. So, I mean, we're not trying to, you know, I mean, if we're actually trying to back Stephen Curry up for him being like the most prolific player in NBA history, maybe, and we're trying to get him another ring, then why are we not doing the things that need to be done to get him that ring, man? And I'm just saying, all these distractions, we've had nothing but distractions, you know what I mean? And Kerr, you know, he's just coaching, he just likes to coach, he's not really, you know, like, it's not really his job. The owner and the GM got to, you know, put their foot down and be like, man, if you don't like it here, raise your hand and we'll ship you out. And that's how it should be. Some of these players be acting like, oh, it's we're so privileged to have you on our team. No, you're lucky to be playing a kid's game and getting paid millions of dollars. Go out there and ball out. Do your whining to your family on the side or whatever you do your whining to. But, you know, just, you don't put out in public like that, man. It's on all these distractions is too much, man. Yep. Just win. Yep. Just go out there and win. Just play basketball.
Nick, thank you. Appreciate it. I've never done cocaine. I feel like Nick's calls are verbal cocaine.
Not quite, but... I mean,
I don't know what it's like, but
it's more
just,
double espresso.
Okay, like, yeah, there's a lot that's like, I just feel stressed at the end of it, and there wasn't anything stressful said. But
I liked it. There was a lot of good takes.
I didn't not like it, but it just feels a little bit, there's a lot going on.
It's a little frenetic, yeah, for sure. You. And the one thing about it, though, is the whole idea of the off season. Everybody wanted them to just go out and find a 7-footer who can shoot it and defend and rebound. And
not
I don't
that easy
know,
to find, yeah.
Right, those people
it.
Don't really exist. And the fact that Mike Dunleavy's in love with guards, I don't know what wing player is out there. And you've got wing players, and you hope that Moody can be good, and you hope that Kuminga can be a good wing player. But this team is always going to be built around Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And so when you look for players who can work with Steph Curry, that is a certain archetype of basketball player. And there aren't that many people who can actually come in and do that.
It's not, it's not, especially with your financial constraints because you have two players making over $50 million a year. Now, his point about Kuminga's agent, I do want to say one more thing about this and why yesterday for me was a line of demarcation. This is a problem. Okay, if you as an agent are representing your client in the middle of a contentious contract negotiation and you do an hour and a half on the radio and another hour on TV, I get it. I don't have to like it, but I understand that you're trying to advocate for your client because your job as the agent is to get that client as much money and the best contract possible. So, okay. Okay, Aaron, but that job's done now. Now you're just a dude in the stands.
But the job's not done now.
No, the job is done for the moment. There's no contract negotiation for at least a year and a half. And now all you're doing is being a problem. That's it.
Well, you're trying to provoke the exodus in 6 weeks. That's what you're trying to do.
That is very, very disadvantageous for the Golden State Warriors.
It's toxic, and it could be risky for the client, yeah. But maybe that's what the client wants.
Well, then that's a completely different problem, by the way. But that's all, like, remember when Ayesha Curry accused the league of being rigged? Has she tweeted again?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jonathan, it's time to have that talk. No more tweeting about Warrior basketball from Aaron Turner. If I'm Jonathan Kuminga, that would be the right thing to do. We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. 888-957-9570 is the number. Are the Warriors from Steve Kerr on up doing a good job? We're taking your calls all the way till 6 on Withered and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes to work, backs up, 17-footer, back rim miss, ball tipped out. Seth Curry has it, maintains his balance, gets the ball to Spencer, comes across, top of the key, right wing to Seth Curry, it's a three ball, up and no good. Kuminga got the rebound, dunk for Kuminga inside, a two-hand slam, a little elevation sensation for number one, and the Thunder call timeout.
Cha-ching!
Here at Chase Center.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Boy, last night was an experience, man.
It was.
Last night was a weird experience.
It was actually three experiences of, okay, yeah, OKC, man, you're really good. You win. Wait, hold on a minute. Who are these Warriors? Number 61? Like, all right, Warriors, come back and wait, maybe, just maybe, you can, I mean, Mark, what if they would have beaten a team that was 20-1 with that ragtag group, and then they go up five? It's like, could they? Nah, never mind. So it was really three experiences. You were there,
yep.
And you talked about a kind of a sleepy first half.
Yeah, first half was a super bore.
And then the third quarter was like unbelievable.
The third quarter with Jimmy sitting out totally changes your it changes your expectations. It changes your perspective. And you're already down 19. So you're kind of looking around thinking, I don't know, like, oh, should we go get a drink or something? Yep. Or like, especially with that late start, the game doesn't tip till 8:13 at night. And so, yeah, like, I'm not going to lie. We were planning our exit strategy. But we just didn't, we did an ultimatum. I'm like, either you make a cool run here or we're out. And then here they come. And it was a different kind of a rooting because you're still not expecting them to win, but you're just sort of like tickled by what they're doing and who's doing it. But then there's always, see, this is what I struggle with because the unbridled joy of the moment gets twisted by the organizational sideshow that has developed. And maybe through the fault of no one, but here we are. And you have Jonathan Kuminga's agent right after the game taking shots at the rotations on Twitter. You also have Pat Spencer getting pulled out of the game. Brandon Pajemski, who had played very well up to that point, getting inserted into the game, and a very strong portion of the fan base is triggered by Pods, and I understand the dynamic very well, but the problem that sits here is it doesn't matter how we got here, it matters that we're here. And a lot of the fan base doesn't like Pods. So he leads the team in scoring, has 17 points, largely did a lot more good than bad, but he turns the ball over right when he comes into the game, and now apparently he's the dog of the night. Most recent text on our Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. So according to your logic, Pod should be sitting for tomorrow's game because of his boneheaded, selfish play that actually cost him the game. What in God's name are you talking about? First of all, I didn't advocate for the sitting of anyone at any point. I didn't advocate for Jonathan to sit or Pods to sit.
Or Pat to sit.
Or anybody to sit. I didn't advocate for that at all. But the mere idea, and I don't know who you are, but someone out there said that Pods cost them the game. That's laughable.
I mean,
it's laughable. Sure. They were already losing, number one. Number two, that's the only turnover that happened all night?
I don't think so. Well, and if he cost him the game, then you got to give him credit for being a part of the 15-3 run in the third quarter that you talked about where they're down 22 and you're already thinking about, like, how soon do we leave and how quick can we get home
yeah.
and text the kids and this and that. And they go on a 15-3 run, including a banked three by GP2. And now it's a 10-point game. And so you have to go to your lovely wife, Christy, and say, well, hold your horses. I mean, it's 10. It might go back to 18. It could go down to 5. They actually might take the lead.
And then they did.
Which they did. And then, so Pods cost him the game. Pods came in for Pat Spencer. He missed a three that he shouldn't have taken so early. And then he threw a very bad pass. It was a turnover. Now you're down 7. Okay. He cost him the game. If you want to look at it that way, you can.
Yeah, and 925 is the next text to come in and goes, no, you got it wrong. We don't like JK. And see, this is my point.
Right.
This is the sideshow that has developed outside of Warrior basketball, which is that, like, the game will happen. We can analyze it. We can enjoy it. We can not like it. We can look at the big. We can look at the small. I didn't want Pat Spencer to get pulled out of the game. And then, the big, let's trade for Giannis. Okay, let's have all these conversations.
Sure.
And then there's the sideshow. I don't like Pots. And I don't like JK, or I do. I love this guy. I don't love that guy. This is the toxicity all summer long that I was very, very worried about. And I'm sorry to say that it is here. And for 5 games at the beginning of the year, it looked like they were flirting with, oh, it's not going to be here, but it is. It is. Even Anthony Slater doing 23 paragraphs with Jimmy Butler, where every other paragraph is Jimmy talking about how he has become a psychiatrist for Jonathan. It's like, that's wonderful, but no, it's not. This isn't how you win basketball games. Like, this is what, like, there's too much. There's too much going on.
There's a lot going on, but I still look at it, and I said it at the time, and I was a big proponent of, yeah, it can work, and it has worked, and it also has not worked, and it is a little bit more of a sideshow than they would want and that I certainly would want, but I look at it still now, and I wonder what would have been better for the Warriors. A sign and trade would not have been better because you wouldn't have been able to get much in return in terms of an actual player, and so for me, the best thing they could do would be sign him and have the team option, which they do, and then now get to the deadline, and even before the deadline, January 15th, which we call JK Day, that's the first day that they could actually trade him, which is coming up in 6 weeks and one day. So for me, this still is the best possible thing they could have done, and I don't think that there were other free agents they could have gotten based on their proximity to the second apron. You're paying two of the five highest contracts in the association with Jimmy and Steph, and so you were a little bit constricted anyway, but I thought that this course, what they did, gives you the best chance to maybe do something. And if Buddy's going to be this Buddy, and you got Seth Curry, and Seth Curry can maybe approximate what Buddy does and Buddy's role, well, now you've got a couple of tradable pieces, and maybe you actually can go out and get somebody for a certain amount. And I'm not going to advocate for this per se, but I did think it was interesting that Chris Paul got sent home yesterday. So if Chris Paul is a guy who you can like bring in January for 800 grand or what, I don't even know what the vet min prorated would be. I thought that was interesting, but I do think there are other moves you can make around the margins that can still help you.
888-957-9570 is the number. No thanks on Chris Paul.
I know it's a no thanks. It's a no thanks for me too, but yeah. I did think that was really interesting. Like,
did you see that the reports are that he and Ty Lue were not even on speaking terms?
Right.
And we were talking about this earlier before the show. Just imagine, if you will, because I know people forget what this used to be. You could argue that Chris Paul is the best player the Clippers have ever had. He was the most important.
Like historically, sure.
I mean, he was the most important player to their best moments. They've never won anything, but there are a lot of organizations like that. I likened it in a way to like Dominic Wilkins of the Hawks, or maybe like a Chris Webber or a Peja from the Sacramento Kings, like somebody who took your team through its most wonderful, although not championship time. And imagine that organization bringing you in at midnight on a Tuesday, halfway across the country, and being like, please go home. Just leave. Whatever you do, we don't care. Just don't be here. Can you imagine what it takes for an organization to do that to one of the greatest players who's ever worn the uniform?
Especially after he came out before the year and said, yeah, this is it. It's going to be a retirement. And
a retirement.
Not that it's going to be a retirement tour, but I'm going to retire, and you get 16 games in, and they basically say to you, yeah, don't come back.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, shocking.
Like, you work somewhere for 40 years, you're a highly successful employee, you go put in your 2 weeks. Well, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks' notice. They're like, how about right now? Leave.
Go on.
Security?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Let's go back to the phones.
He might be out there, but go ahead.
Well, the Warriors really want to troll their fans. They're like, so we think we just need to get a little more experience.
Need a little bit older.
We need to get a little older.
Yep.
You know, we need some people who know what to do at the end of a game. We're sick of these pods turnovers. We're getting Chris Paul back in here.
You coaching?
Somebody who can handle the ball. Maybe they can bring him in to do that. Maybe Chris Paul should come set the rotations. Would that calm everybody down? All right.
He played all 82 last year, by the way.
I got my own complaint.
Started every game for the Spurs, so health's not the issue. No. But go ahead.
All right.
Steve, did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm here.
Kinda. All right. Father Time in Napa. Hi, Father Time. What are you doing? You're undefeated. You know that, right?
I've heard. I don't know. Depends on who you ask.
Fair enough.
Well, you just baited me into it. First of all, you just took 167 seconds of my life away with the Chris Paul talk. I thought we were done with that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's on me.
Yeah, speaking about getting old, Father Time-wise. And you also baited me into the micro. I want to talk macro. Micro, you know, when you really think about what Pat Spencer and Pods bring to the table, it's the ability to cross half court with the dribble in their hands. They're the only two that can initiate an offense. and that means something, you can still be mad. I mean, I hate them all. I can't stand Kuminga. I can't stand Pods. I can't stand Spencer. I can't, if you could wave a magic wand and have a different roster, you can't. But the roster construction is what it is. And while I think that some of them are interesting players, I just think that it's not something that's going to really help this team to win. And I think that's pretty factual. Big time macro, you know, there is somebody else, Steve Kerr up. Well, there's somebody right there, and his name is Stephen Curry. He's the director of player personnel. You just have to accept that, and it is, you know, absolutely the way it is. There's not a player on this team that Steph Curry has not signed off on, and there are some players on the team who shouldn't be on the team that Steph Curry signed off on and going to stick around. Draymond, you know, the Warriors have a long history, and I know it's not all Lakeham and his career or whatever, but there has not been a big man that the Warriors have developed since Joe Barry Carroll. That's a long time. I defy you to tell me they had big men and that they left. You know, Weber left, other guys left. But that's since 1987. And how do you develop somebody? Well, first you have to draft them. And the draft pick that the Warriors have made over the last 12, you know, 13 years, they've got Steph, Clay, and Draymond. I mean, unbelievable. Grand slam all the way around. Since then, who have they drafted? They've turned into a star, let alone an all-star. It just hasn't happened. So if you're looking for why the Warriors are where they are, in addition to laying their own, you know, bed and lying in it, they just haven't done the important stuff, which is really focused on the ground floor of your team. Granted, they didn't have five first-round picks in a trade like OKC got, but I understand that. You could have got a first-round pick for Draymond Green a few years ago. Anyway, that's my take on it. You know, the Warriors are fun in this market, but they're a 500 team. That's where they started. That's where they're going to end. And it's going to be a lot of consternation about that. Anyway, guys, I love your show. I got to get back to being a father.
You. Yeah, bye. Be a father. Thanks, I wonder if Kevon Looney counts as a big man that they developed. He's 6'9". So at what point do you become a big man? And you could say that he's not a star, and he's not, but he's a three-time champ, and he actually was developed by them. So it always, to me, it's a little curious. And we can look at Wiseman. And yes, they didn't develop Wiseman.
Look,
that was a mistake pick. And I don't know what he's done since. I don't even know if he still is in the
association. Now. Yeah. So, like, remember what you're asking the Warriors to do. It has not been done by any team in the NBA right now, which is you're asking them to draft and develop in the midst of winning. Like, you can look at the Thunder. You can go to the Boston Celtics before that. You can, you know, you want to talk about the Indiana Pacers, who actually haven't even won a ring. You want to talk about the Denver Nuggets. All of those development process teams that are now really good, they did all that. The bricks were laid for that while they sucked out loud. So this is not, I'm not going to just roundly defend the organization. I just want people to realize what you're asking. You're asking for them to draft and develop in the midst of chasing championships. I don't know teams that do that. If somebody wants to give me that example so that I can see it and feel it and go, oh, they should have done that, then I would love to hear the example.
The Spurs with Kawhi Leonard.
Right, but like
you... And that's a little bit of an anomaly because when they won the title, he went from nice role player to, oh my God, you're the MVP.
Right, and you're also going back like 15 to 20 years to come up with this kind of an example. So
right, but that's the only one you could think
of. Right, but I mean, in today's NBA, you're right. Like, yes, you can do things through the draft. I don't know anybody who's doing that while also housing 50 to 60 million, multiple 50 to 60 million dollar players on their team and competing at a high level for championships. So much of your Warriors' frustration can be wrapped up in a simple concept of this is just the evolution of Steph Curry, and you do have to kind of be okay with some struggles. That's how I feel. You kind of have to be a little bit okay with the idea that you don't just get to do this for decades over and over. Like, this is fun. The whole, like, late career, wow, 37 years old, he's still really good. Let's see if we can construct something. But you're not going to have oodles of draft picks in the lottery and then develop them and have them become stars. They've had about, what, 2-3 shots at it, and granted,
in the lottery, yeah.
And granted, it hasn't gone great.
Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody are your three.
And two of them are still on the team.
Sure.
And
one will be for another 43 days.
Only one was a top five pick, and it was a complete and total miss. I get it. But this is not like something that they've screwed up over and over and over again. They're in the midst of winning.
Right. Well, they were in the midst of winning.
Yeah, they were. And they're still a playoff team.
Perhaps. I mean, they might be.
I mean, in the last couple years, yes.
Right. And if you look at, like, this year, should they be a playoff team? Yes. Next year, sure. Will Steph still be here? Jimmy's contract is up. Draymond's contract is up. Fine. And at that point, okay, you're going to be just like these other teams. And we talked about it yesterday, where when you go from a dynasty or a good, long, sustained run, it's usually 4 to 6 years of licking wounds, getting younger, and getting better. And all you have to do is look at OKC right now, and you've got all these guys. You've got Shea is 27, Holmgren 23, Hartenstein is 27, Lou Dort's 26, your various Jalen Williamses, one's 23, one's 24. These guys are pups. They already have a chip, and they're all young, and most of them aren't making that much money. So,
no, but they will get to that spot.
They will.
They're going to get there.
In the meantime, like Shea this year is only making 36, and I know his contract is about to explode and erupt, but in the meantime, you've got an affordable, young, versatile, malleable roster, and the Warriors have no chance of doing that right now.
No, yeah, they get to go on their run.
Right.
And we'll see how many they get.
Right, and they may not get any more, and you may get to the end of it, and Steph says, you know, so long, and Jimmy and Draymond, and at that point, okay, you have to decide what you're going to do.
415, they had the shots and blew it. They did? Like
last night, they're talking?
No,
or?
I guess they're talking about the draft. Sure, they had a shot with James Wiseman. Right. I don't – when was Moses picked? Like 14th?
Yep. End of the lottery.
I don't consider that. Oh, boy, that was your shot to really switch this league up. The 14th pick in the draft, and Jonathan was 7th, and we still got half the fan base fighting for him to be a future 1 or 2 in the league. So,
and the Franz Wagner went 8.
Sure.
And Shangoon, the goon, went 16.
Probably should have picked him.
Where'd Trey Murphy go?
Trey Murphy went 17.
By the way, let me mention something about all three of those players. There is zero. They are all better. They're all better than Jonathan. There is zero proof at any point that any of those three players are the central figures to championship contention. We have not arrived at that time yet.
They're Would you rather have Shangoon or Kuminga?
Of course,
you know is the thing.
Of course,
and Franz Wagner and
yeah.
In hindsight, is 50-50.
Well, sure. Kuminga's not being asked to be the central part of a championship team.
Not right now, but like this entire conversation about the future is that there are people who believe that he can be an all-star, right? Is that not the conversation that everyone's been having for the last 2 years?
The Kuminga fans, yes, absolutely.
So, I'm not saying that they made the right pick. I'm simply, my larger point is that the Warriors have been in the midst of winning. That's not when you like then also nail the draft and build your next dynasty. That is near, not totally, but near impossible. That's nearly impossible to do.
Depends on how you approach it. And they decided to go with Jonathan Kuminga, a G League Ignite player with almost no experience.
Correct.
Thinking that, you know, the ha-ha and the skeet-skeet and all the rest of it, which he still has, they thought that that would translate more than it actually has. And you can blame Kuminga, Dunleavy, Lacob, Kerr, all the above, Aaron Turner. You can blame whatever you want, but he has not been as good as you would have hoped with the number 7 pick.
Yep. And by the way, I'd also say this real quick. Those other players, if you had picked them, probably wouldn't be the level that they are now had they been here. The same way people think that Jonathan has been stunted. What the hell's what's Franz Wagner doing while he's trying to work through Steph, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole? What's happening there? Has he established what he's established in Orlando? No.
He's probably just a good spot-up shooter.
Yeah.
And the interesting one would be Shangoon, who was able to play his way into, he's going to be an all-star this year, and he's a top 20 player in the association because he's gotten to play a ton.
That's the guy they could have used. There's no doubt.
Right.
That I get. Let's see, Bill in San Jose next. Hi, Bill, what's up? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi guys. I was you changed what I wanted to say. I just wanted to say that, you know, I was sitting there last night, you know, reading a book, watching the game, and then it got really exciting. You know, I thought I looked at the faces on Oklahoma City. They look nervous, like they look nervous. And I'm going, wow, I'm really excited. And then they take out Pat Spencer, and then he pulls Seth Curry. They didn't know what to do with those two. Those guys were hitting shots right and left. So I'm going to hold this one on Steve Kerr. I think that was a coaching error. You know, I don't know why he did what he did. Were they gassed? What was his thinking? Was Seth Curry on a minutes restriction or some BS? You know, I mean, I really don't know. But they threw away, I feel like they threw away a winnable game. You know, a winnable game. And it's happened a lot. I watch all the games. But I also got to say, you know, you talked about that draft. And you cannot miss. Basically, they missed on all three of that draft. And you cannot, when you're a championship team and you get that opportunity, you cannot miss on a draft like that and expect to recover. They just can't, you know. And the Wiseman miss, I would like to be a fly on the wall to know exactly why they wanted to draft Wiseman, who had really no track record of being – of having any experience. Why? And that was just a blow.
Yeah, no, there's no, Bill, thank you. There's no question about any of that. I think all of that is fair, although I do think it's funny when people talk about at the top of an NBA draft who has a track record. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody anymore has a track record at the top of an NBA draft. Most of them have played for 7 seconds in college, or they're overseas or whatever. Nobody's got a track record at the top of the draft. You know who had a track record in the draft? Will Richard.
Yeah.
He had a track record.
He did?
That's who you... Track record guys go in the second round.
At times, yeah. But, I mean, James Wiseman had no track record.
No.
And to the caller's point, it was two different drafts. It was Wiseman in 2020 with the number two pick, and then the subsequent year they took Kuminga and Moody.
Correct. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. By the way, he wanted an explanation for what Steve Kerr did at the end of the game last night. Steve answered those questions. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Coming up next, keep taking your calls. 888-957-9570. From Kerr on up. You feel like the Warriors are doing a good job right now? We're taking your calls on Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pajemski on the far side, cut off. Gets it back up top to Payton. They swing it right to Seth Curry. Off the dribble, step back. Good! That's a two. It's a one-point game.
Bay Area, it's Seth Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. And you can see us live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Just search 95.7 The Game and make sure to subscribe.
Been holding that one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. Now it's here. Hi, this is LJ Crier. I hope there's an LJ Crier. You got to get that now. He's coming. And you got a D'Anthony Melton, right? From last year?
From last year.
Not this year? Okay.
And you want to hear one?
He thinks you're
pissed. I'm afraid of it. Yeah, I'm sure he
Dub
does.
Dub Nation, is D'Anthony Melton.
No.
You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah, let's go, Melton. He's back.
He's back. Read it like you mean it, Melton. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah.
Next read, please. Hi, it's D'Anthony Melton.
I mean, I don't need to belabor the point. Your picks stink. Let's move on with our day. What's for dinner?
You could say that, but I believe still 12 above 500, 36 and 25, maybe 11 above.
Don't hang that around Melt's head. He said that last year when it was true.
They did stink last year, yeah.
Okay. So, yep. All right.
And the pick is in for tomorrow. Which,
can't wait. This is a hell of a game.
Boy.
Cowboys and Lions.
Hell of a weekend. 1,000 points
in this game.
It is Slippers and Afghan Sunday.
Oh, dude, there are matchups.
7 hours.
Yeah, boy. With no Niner game to stress you out.
It's Uncle Scott.
This is a don't get dressed weekend.
No.
Almost wish it was raining.
Hey, Mark, it's Uncle Scott.
From Sundays.
Your team doesn't play. 7 hours of games you don't care about except for your fantasy teams that are all not making the playoffs.
God, I hope for all of you that you're not going against people who are in that game tomorrow night. Tomorrow night feels like 51 to 49. So if you're going against Jameer.
You are.
I know, but not in a game that matters. If you're going against CeeDee or George or Javonte, I don't know if Amon-Ra's playing, so there's probably going to be like little white receivers you've never heard of who are going to score points for the Lions. Jameson Williams, look out for J-Mo. Oh, this is a fantasy.
Ferguson.
This is a fantasy buffet.
Yep.
Tomorrow night.
And Dak Prescott playing for the MVP award, apparently.
Apparently.
I mean, the odds makers think so.
Get out of here.
I mean, the odds say that he's top five in the odds.
I get it. Yeah, because somebody's got to be. But this is between Drake May and Josh Allen. And
you scrunched your nose when you said that because I don't really think it's Josh Allen anymore.
Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
That's probably who's winning the award.
Yeah. If ever you're going to give it to somebody who does something extraordinary, like outside of, you're a quarterback and your team was good.
How about
this would be the year. Jackson Smith and Jigba. And honestly, Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be the second guy to ever go 1,000.
I know.
Just hear me out. If they end up going 13-4 and he winds up 1,200 and 1,150 and he winds up with, 17 touchdowns and they have the one seed in the NFC, that there is a path in my mind to where that could happen.
Hang on. I got to do some math. The Seahawks have already had their bye, right? So
everyone has except for the four teams this weekend.
Okay. So let's see. 600. I want you to remember this number. 664.
Okay.
All right, 664. Yep.
Too short of the devil.
Divided by 5.
Yep.
If Jackson Smith and Jigba can average 132.8 yards per game the rest of the way, he's going to go for 2K.
Yep. First one ever.
And his team is 9-3 at the moment.
That's
worth a look.
That's what I'm
saying. That's worth a look. I agree with you. All right. We're going to go back to the phones, 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr, last night, with regard to the closing lineup, the Pat Spencer poll, all of that stuff. Here's Kerr on how he chose the closing lineup.
You're just going with the guys who have, really played the best and you feel good about. And, we stayed with Gary because he's our best on-ball defender. Buddy is also better defensively than given credit for. And, we wanted him on the ball and we wanted his floor spacing. He got a good look late. He was mad at himself for not knocking it down, that corner shot. But, Buddy is a great, great shooter. And so we were just going with the guys that we felt gave us the best chance.
Okay. So, he talks about defense first, which is kind of the point you've made today about Pat Spencer. We always focus on offense. Okay, he was doing really well. I would have left him in the game, but that's because I'm looking at it from a different perspective than Steve Kerr.
Right.
Steve's diving into X's and O's. I'm more like, dude, we're on chapter 15 of this book. This is fun. I want to read another chapter. And so I wanted them to stick with it.
And they killed off the main character with three chapters to go.
Totally. And when they used to do that on shows that I used to like, that was it for me, dog.
Yep.
I was out. Like, you know, kill that person. I don't want to watch anymore.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's a plot twist. As long as you come back with something and, you know, you wind up winning the game, but.
But if you come back with a turnover.
Animus 3.
Yeah. So, the follow-up was, okay, you said you wanted to stick with the people who were playing the best. Steve, what about that Pat guy? Because he looked like he was playing the best.
It was a consideration, but we wanted to get Brandon back in the game because he was also playing at a high level, and Pat had been out there for a while, and just felt like, you know, a good time to sub. We have played them together a little bit. That was discussed in the huddle, but we decided to go with the group that we went with.
I'm stuck on his, like, he had been out there a while. I can only guess that Steve thought maybe he was tired. But I still, like, I don't know, man. That's kind of like when your kid comes home from school and you're like, I'm tired. Your first reaction is the same for all of us who are adults.
Oh, you think you're tired?
Yeah, you're not tired. You're a kid. Pat, how many minutes has Pat Spencer played in his life? You're not tired.
No.
Go play.
He played just short of 12 minutes in the second half. Not the fourth quarter, the second half. And that's where it becomes a little bit of a head scratcher. I mean, put aside the fact that, yeah, while he was out there, he scored, they scored, he scored, they scored, and he wound up as a minus six in the fourth quarter. Whatever, plus minus, take it or leave it. But he didn't come in until there was 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And at that point, the Warriors were down two. And he played about 5 minutes, and he made a couple of buckets. And by the time they subbed him out, 4 minutes to go in the game, they were down four. So they went from down two, he came in, to down four. So Pat was, he was everything. And I know you were in the crowd, and the crowd was going bananas, and I'm at home watching it from my bed, and I'm just laughing out loud because, are you kidding me? It's not only that he's hitting shots, but they were coming down the floor, and they were running the offense through Pat Spencer. Like, all right, Pat, here, Draymond comes across half court.
Right.
Hall of Famer, Pat, it's you. Like, Pat, get us into something.
And the Thunder are guarding him. And at one point, that's the what I love. I love and hate sometimes about Pat is what goes through his mind. He ended up on the left low block.
Yep.
Up against Chet Holmgren. And what went through his mind was, I could score on him.
Let Pat cook.
And then he did.
Yep.
Incredible.
Incredible.
And so that was the cheering that y'all heard last night. If you're watching on TV, it's different kind of cheering. There's not just like, it's not like when Brock Purdy drops back and hits George Kittle for a touchdown, where you're like, yes, that's what we do. It was more like, whoa, what? Look at this. Who are these guys?
Right.
It's a completely different vibe.
9 minutes left. Spencer in, Green in, Post out, Pods out. GP2 3, Jalen Williams answers, Warriors down one. Spencer with a pull-up, Warriors up one. Draymond Green hits a three, now you're up four, and you're thinking...
That was the moment.
Yes.
That was the moment where you're like, maybe.
From the left wing, he just stepped right into it, pow. And then a couple of Holmgren free throws, cut it to two. And then Holmgren hits a three, okay, here come the Thunder. Spencer with a little floating banker, Warriors back in front. Mitchell with the answer, and then Spencer over Holmgren. Now you're thinking, what the absolute bleep is going on?
You're like, magic dust is on the arena tonight.
Right. The Warriors up again. Shea with the answer, timeout Warriors, they're down one. And that moment is when...
You took him out.
Well, Curry came in for Richard at that point. Then Spencer missed, and then that's when Spencer came out. Joe with the three to make it a four-point game, and that's where they made the switch to Pods with 4 minutes left.
So. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. Mike, thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? So me and a couple buddies at work, we've been kind of mulling it over and trying to figure out why Steve Kerr is partial to Brandon Podziemski, and the only people who could really come up with answers were the older people in the group because we watched Steve Kerr play. And what we've came to is he seems to be more partial to Brandon Podziemski because he's getting 100% of his ability out of him, out of his body, meaning we're seeing the effort out there with Podziemski. Part of his game is the chip on his shoulder because he's not very big. He's not the most athletic jump out of the gym guy. Now, I believe, and we believe, a couple of the older people at work, we feel like Steve Kerr is a little jealous that Jonathan Kuminga can roll out of bed and have all that athletic ability, but not have the effort side. So what it is Stephen Kerr being the player he was and being a really hard-nosed guy, working really hard, getting the max out of his game, he feels like he is like a Pajamski. He's more partial to that. Now, he got in a fight with Michael Jordan. And definitely know about that. Everybody knows Kerr butted heads. He was a little pissed off that Michael Jordan was more athletic than him. So I'm pretty sure this stems back from Steve Kerr feeling some type of way about his abilities and him not being able to have the athletic ability that one Jonathan Kuminga has. And he doesn't get the max out of his game. Because let's be honest, if Kuminga got the max out of his 100% athletic ability, we wouldn't be talking about this. We'd be talking about Kuminga being an all-star. So am I right or wrong with this? I need your guys' true opinion on this.
Okay, Mike.
We're talking about this situation.
Yeah, so, okay. Look, I'll give you this, Mike. It's an interesting take.
Yeah.
I've not heard this before. I would answer it, I guess, two ways. And the first one is to say, every single human being on the planet has their own set of biases. That's not escapable as a human being.
And we all make judgments constantly over everything.
And so certain things trigger us. And they are usually the things that are kind of like what he's talking about right there, which is the things that are sort of opposite to what makes us us. Like whatever you really value in life, if there's someone around you that's doing the opposite, that can trigger you. So on some level, I'll agree to the possibility that through Steve's eyes, Jonathan is, quote, not his kind of player. I could see that. Where I'm going to stop, though, is when you use the word jealousy. I don't think that really any coaches operate in that space because that's where it feels like now it's personal. Now there's a vendetta. Now there's like, I'm going to sit you because I'm jealous of you. I don't think coaches can operate that way because that is just an absolute highway to losing your job. And we've heard so many players who have played for Steve Kerr say the same thing over and over. All he wants to do is win the game. If you've got two heads, green legs, if your last name has 1,000 letters, but you could help him win, you're in. You're in. So I just think that that's all that's going on here. But if you allow for a meet in the middle, which is the idea that, Jonathan is not the fundamentally sound approach player that Steve wants. It's why he goes to veterans so often. Then, maybe there's something there. I wouldn't use the word jealousy.
No, and I wouldn't trace it back to Jordan. I don't know what happened when he and Jordan got into it. I would bet it had more to do with a longer-term relationship of Jordan being very demanding and Steve Kerr in the moment probably being fed up, and it came to shove, and that's the way that one happened, and it happens all the time if you ask NBA people. The other part of it, I think, is when you look at the two players, and they play two different positions, so it's not about JK or Pods, because one's a small forward and one's a guard, but I do think he leans more toward Pods because he is more reliable. He's not as good as Jonathan when Jonathan's at his best, and he's probably not as bad as Jonathan when they're both at their worst. Jonathan Kuminga is much more of a high-ceiling, low-floor player, and I think Brandon Pajemski is much more of a reliable... He's like a ranch house as opposed to Jonathan Kuminga, who's a five-story apartment. And you may be in the top floor of the penthouse one week, and you may be in the basement the next.
I'll buy that.
And I think as far as, him looking at a player, he's looking more for a reliable guy, and Pods is more that.
But you snuck this into your take, and it is the one that I do want everyone to go home with, which is like the main reason that Pods plays maybe more than JK or whatever, whoever, like it doesn't need to be even about Jonathan. The main reason Pods might play more than you want Pods to play is just his position.
Right.
Again, it's not the only answer. As I put it earlier on the crossover, it's the number one answer on the board on your Family Feud board. That's why. Like, he can bring the ball up. and play guard. And by the way, it's on the table that that could change with the likes of D'Anthony Melton. And Seth Curry coming onto the team, especially Melton. All right, listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. This is a Warrior Wednesday. It is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.